Chapter 2. Act 2. A love that tastes like starving to death. Oh, 300 hours. Prime day. Tens.
Cody, Vodner, I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to need you to keep your fat mouth shut about it.
2-4.
Well, when you ask me like that, how can I refuse? Make it quick. Strategy meeting in 10.
Tens.
What does it feel like to be in love? Fuck. Never mind. Forget I said anything. Block this number, actually. Please and thank you.
2-4.
Vod.
Oh, 100 hours. Syntax day. 2-4.
Fox.
1400 hours. Syntax day. 2-4.
Fox, please answer your comm. What is this question? Why are you asking me this? We can talk about this like adults.
1600 hours. Tongues day. Tens.
I'm literally 15.
2-4.
Shut up. Why did you ask me this?
Tens.
Well, Marshal Commander Cody, I like asking random troopers their feelings on entirely arbitrary subjects at random for shits and giggles. It gets boring on Coruscant, you see, and I'm conducting a survey. Fuck off.
Oh, 234. Gel day. 2-4.
It feels like I need him when he's there, and I miss him when he's gone. And one day, I think I'm recovered and fine, and the next day, all I can think of is the way his hair curls in the morning. I try to move on, and then he says something stupid or funny or immensely, deeply heartbreaking, and I'm treading water all over again. It feels like starving to death, Vod.
Oh, 500. Gel day. Tens.
Did you seriously write me an entire fucking treatise on the properties of love at 2:30 a.m. instead of sleeping?
2-4.
I am a man of many talents.
Fox came down with a mysterious illness almost 3 days later. Clone troopers didn't get sick. Fox was intimately aware of this. It was a universal truth. Despite the sterile clinical environment every clone trooper had been raised in, they'd been exposed to a variety of hazards and their immune systems genetically tampered with. Clone troopers got injured. They died like ants in a firestorm. They disappeared by the hundreds. They didn't get sick. I'm fine, Fox snapped at Thier, who was trying to sabotage him. Never trust a medic with a smile, was Fox's motto. They were all schemers to the bone. Fox, your resting heartbeat is a frightening 210, and you look like something a bantha shit out. Thier said, grabbing Fox's jaw and forcing Fox to look at the wobbling silhouette that was Thier in his field of vision. How long has this been going on? 16 hours, give or take. I'll strap you to a gurney and intubate you by force if I have to, Thier said, because he was a serial killer at heart. When was the last time you laid down for more than 30 minutes? The last time you drank something that wasn't calf? The last time you ate? Gelday, no clue, no clue. In that order. Fox blinked hard several times and leaned a shoulder against the wall casually. The wall escaped him. He fell into the floor face first with a humorous sound. The floor, the walls, and his own head CMO were all conspiring against him. "This is what happens when you don't take good care of yourself," Thier roared, pointing directly at Fox. Guard troopers very casually milled away from Thier and Fox, like oil from a drop of extra-strength industrial soap. "Drink water, eat shit, lay down. Enrich your young minds." All these needless dramatics. Thier was worse than Cody. Thier knelt next to Fox and heaved him over his shoulder in a fireman's carry. Thorn came jogging up next to him, boots thumping loudly against the tiled floor. "Will he be okay?" Thorn asked, voice loud and distant all at the same time. "He'll be fine," Thier said briskly. "All I can do are stopgap measures, though. He needs to stop overworking himself like this. It's even worse than last time. You can sign off on forms, can't you?" From the sound of it, Thorn was rubbing his hands together with glee. "Some of those shinies need to learn the joys of filing cabinets, anyway. I'll leave you to it. Call if you need backup." Fox snorted into Thier's embrace. "He can't even stand right now, much less escape," Thier said, voice bland and pleasant. "He'll be fine." The thudding pain behind Fox's eyes was getting more and more urgent. The world faded away as he closed his eyes, sinking beneath the agony flooding his body. Everything ached, like he'd run 20 clicks in full gear with Alpha 17 on his heels. His chest hurt and his heart felt like it was stuttering. The migraine wasn't new. The muscle pain was. It had all been getting more and more frequent over the weeks, along with the... "Fuck." "Thier," Fox said into Thier's plastoid. His VOD smelled like a medbay, sharp and chemical. Underneath it, though, there was that stupid candle smoke scent Thier always carried. "Yes, Commander Dekut?" Thier asked, laying Fox out on a medbay cot and starting in on stripping his armor off. "I can't remember things," Fox said after a moment. He had to force the words out through a reflex wave of hot, heady panic. The base of his neck ached as he opened his eyes to the blinding lights of the medbay. Thier wouldn't report him or turn him in for decommissioning or reconditioning. He was safe here. He had to remember that. He had to. If Fox didn't have his Vode, he had nothing. If Fox had nothing, then... I can't remember this morning. I don't know what I was doing this morning. Or last night. I wake up in places I don't remember going to. There's shit in my quarters I never put there. His breath was coming in shorter and shorter pants when he cut himself off. And the tightness in his chest had coiled to the point of breaking. When the Separatists had captured him, he'd kept his head. He'd been practically a shiny then, with a few stripes of paint and a head too big for his bucket. He hadn't said a word, not when they'd carved him up like a life day roast, or when they'd pumped him with enough drugs for him to need a synthetic liver, or when they'd started pulling teeth. They'd kept him like a lover's embrace for 2 endless 10 days. When he'd got out, when the Republic had raised the base, not because Fox had been there, but because it had finally become expedient to do so, he'd looked less like a VOD and more like a trooper-shaped pile of ground meat. Wolf, when he deigned to visit Fox during his stint in the medbay, had whistled and told him that it looked like Fox had kissed asphalt. Hard. And so he'd been shuffled off to Coruscant. Fox would have recognized the meddling hand of Cote anywhere. He'd been relegated to ticketing speeders of the young and affluential scions of Coruscant. He'd been turned into a cop. a guard. Fox had made it his, though. When a trooper needed reassigning, when a commander or captain turned to him with a VOD who didn't quite follow orders as he should, or had fucked up one times too many, Fox took them, he trained them, he guarded them. But he could only fuck up so much until the Senate realized that CC-1010 of the Coruscant Guard was no longer cost-effective. Thier's hands hesitated on the clasps of Fox's quiss, Fox's vision dimming at the edges like it did when he was tired and the calf just wouldn't cut it anymore. "Stress will do that," Thier said, voice surprisingly gentle. "Rest. Let your body recover. You don't have to drive yourself into the ground. We're with you, remember? When it gets too much, you delegate. That's what we are here for." Fox gripped Thier's hand just above the wrist, fingers weak and uncoordinated. What, Thier, I can't. "Don't make me sedate you," Thier finished, pulling off Fox's armor and pressed the flat of his hand to Fox's forehead, tipping him over to lay on his back. To Fox's everlasting shame, he put up no more fight than a newborn Tuca kit. 24 hours. A day of bed rest would be fine. He could get back to it once. "You must think I'm an idiot." Thier shoved a cup with a straw sticking out of it into Fox's face. "Drink." Fox obligingly took a sip, sputtered at the sweet, acrid taste of the electrolyte-heavy sugar drink, and took the cup from Thier. He knocked the whole thing back in one go. His head spun at the movement, and for one very alarmed moment, Fox thought he might actually pass out. 36 hours, minimum. Every time you get out of this bed to do anything more strenuous than piss, I will add another 12. I outrank you in this, also, and I will not hesitate to call Corporal Grizzer over to sit on you. Fox laid back. He took the second cup of sugar water that Thorne handed him and drank that, too. Maybe after Thier went off to do whatever he did at night, he could get back to his office and... Thier put a little clip on the end of Fox's index finger to monitor his vitals, and smiled. It was not a nice smile. "This send updates directly to my Vambrace, Commander. Enjoy your bed rest." "They must have put extra bastard juice in your tube," Fox said after a moment. "Right from Prime himself." "Not nearly as much as they gave you." Thier patted Fox on the head like a recalcitrant Tuca. He turned off the lights as he left, and then Fox was left in the dark, still clutching his empty cup. Fox woke to the sound of someone settling on the side of his bed, the thin mattress dipping under their weight. He was moving before he even realized, lunging for the dark silhouette in the dark and hooking an arm around their throat. It took an embarrassingly long moment for him to find that not only were they not attacking him, but that was a very familiar warmth under his palm. "Fuck." Fox dropped Quinlan like a live grenade and shot upright so fast he thought he might have pulled his spine out of alignment. "You know, I hate to say it, but that was really hot," Quinlan said, voice rough and rasping from where he lay across Fox's lower legs. Someone, Thier no doubt, had stuck a needle in his forearm while he'd slept. Fox groped at the line and followed it up to a hanging bag. Sedatives, toxins, hydration, who knew? His head felt clearer, better. He was recovered. Fox realized he was shivering then, cold as Sith hells, even though the med bay was always kept at a moderate 72 degrees. His throat ached, even though he'd been doing nothing but sleeping. The muscle pain lingering in his arms and legs and chest had only worsened. He collapsed back onto the cot with a guttural groan. What are you doing here? Come to check up on my favorite commander in his hour of need, naturally. Voss wiggled from Fox's shins to his thighs, a heavy, sprawling weight keeping Fox's hips pinned. More importantly, he was warm. You didn't tell me you were injured. I'm not, Fox said, glaring at the dark lump of Jedi on his legs. I'm fine. Which is why you're... Fox drew the word out, sitting half up to poke at the hanging bag, then the array of water pouches on the bedside table that Fox had no memory of emptying. Just chilling in the medbay, then. Yeah, that tracks. Sounds legit. Has anyone ever told you that you are a scourge on the face of the galaxy? Many, many times. Voss propped his chin on Fox's hip and gleamed a smile up at him. Everything hurts, but the pressure was good, grounding. It eased some of the terrible, gnawing ache in Fox's chest. His heart rate went down, too. The monitor to his left was no longer flashing red, but instead a sedate blue-green. You're sick. I'm not... Fox was cut off by a dry, hacking cough that seized his lungs and throat. He bent almost double, biting down into the meat of his forearm when he couldn't breathe any longer. It went on forever, or it felt like it. His lungs seized and seized and seized. Agony thudded in his temples, right behind his eyes. His throat felt like he'd been swallowing broken glass and sandpaper for fun and profit. When he could finally breathe again, there was a warm hand bracing against his forehead, and Voss was prying his jaws apart. His teeth were wet with his own blood. His forearm ached, sharp and gentle. It was better than the raw, hot pain in his head, though. And Fox rumbled a low warning in his chest when Voss tried to look at his forearm. Did you just growl at me? Voss asked, incredulous. He clamped a hand over Fox's forearm. Fuck you, Fox rasped, too tired to do anything more than put up a flimsy show of resistance. After I take you to dinner, baby. Voss shuffled around and somehow procured a roll of gauze. He swabbed Fox's forearm with an antibiotic swab, and Fox sagged back against his pillow. All the fight gone out of him. The sharp, astringent smell made his nose sting. I'm fine, Fox said after a moment, licking the blood from his teeth. His mouth tasted like a newly minted credit, metallic and warm. You sure are, Voss said with a crooked smile. Fox snorted, the sound tearing through his aching chest. You're cold. You're warm. Fox turned his head to the side, pressed his cheek to the scratchy cover of the pillow beneath him. Yeah, Voss finished wrapping Fox's forearm, tucking the end under neatly and delicately laying Fox's forearm across his stomach. Commander Thorne answered your comm. I thought you might have died, but I would have heard about it. Can't let my partner in crime go gentle into that good night or whatever. One more clone's death wouldn't make the news. Fox rasped. Like this, in the dark, he was laid bare. His heart for the taking, his soft and tender underbelly exposed to Voss's sharp gaze. His thoughts were fuzzy, any inhibitions trickling away until he was stripped bare. They don't report that shit. No one gives a damn about us. He was so, so tired. Fox knew it, but it hurt to say, all the same. His Vaudet bled and breathed and fought and died for the Republic, for the senators in their gilded high-rises and the Natborn safe in their own homes. When the war ended, they would be discarded as easily as a broken blaster. Easier, even. Fox's death wouldn't do jack shit. It wouldn't make the news. He would be another number on a long list. CC1010KIA. The sum of his life, his battles and his victories, and the long fucking slog of enduring and enduring and enduring to his very end, summed up in two words. I would have heard, Voss told him, hand warm on Fox's wrist. He seemed intent on something, eyes fixed on Fox's face and fingers flexing against Fox's bare skin. I hear a lot of things. I care about you, Commander, and your Vorda. Voss slapped Fox's wrist gently. Fox could feel the thick calluses under Voss's glove, the rough of them catching on the fabric. The Senate doesn't give a shit about us either. The Jedi. I'm not saying it's comparable, but we gotta stick together. The people the Senate uses and discards over and over. You're not alone. Fox was always alone. Here in the dark, with Voss on his legs, he was alone. In the middle of guard headquarters, among throngs of his Vorda, he was alone. On patrol in the dark streets, and in the bright Senate dome, and in the artificial night, he was alone. Hey, Voss leaned forward and brushed a hand against Fox's cold cheek. His glove rasped against Fox's two-day stubble, and Fox froze, trembled like a snared sparrow. His heart rabbited. The monitor to the left painted Voss's face in warning yellow. I'm right here, baby. It's all right. I'm not leaving. Not for a while. You can be alone in your head all you want, but you're stuck with me tonight. Fox, against every better judgment he had, let his face lean into Voss's warm, warm palm. Voss rubbed his thumb down the crest of Fox's cheekbone, thumbed the crescent-shaped scar at the outside corner of his eye. Go to sleep, Voss whispered. His hand wandered up, fingers carding through Fox's two long curls, and nails scraping lightly behind his ear, in circles above his temple. You don't have to hold yourself up like this all the time. It's all right. Fox was dozing, then sleeping, before he knew it. He slid headfirst into a deep, heady rest. The feeling of Quinlan's fingers against his brow like a benediction carrying him into the dark. He was uncomfortably sweaty when he awoke. It felt like he'd fallen asleep in the sun, but more comfortable. And heavier. Definitely heavier. Fox opened his eyes and wasn't immediately stabbed by pain from the lights of the medbay, unlike the previous innumerable times he'd woken. Huh, that was new. He turned his head and was greeted by a head of dark hair and silver beads. He turned the other way and was greeted by Stone with a holo recorder and an expression so flat Fox could have used it for laminating. What the ever-loving fuck are you doing? Fox said. And if it were not for the laws of this land and the very heavy Jedi sleeping half on him, he would have slaughtered Stone where he stood. Making beautiful memories, Stone said. Still flat-faced. He had a poker face that would have put Kote to shame. For posterity. Fox freed an arm and pointed at Stone. You have 3 seconds before your ass is grass, you fucking ingrate. Medic mandated bed rest, Stone said. Pleasant. Extra 12 hours and so forth. He snapped another holo of Fox and smiled beatifically. It was as slow as a supernova sunrise and just as devastating. I can't wait to send this to the High Command chat. That is it! Fox was halfway up out of the cot before Thier materialized on his other side and whacked his elbow out from under him. Fox collapsed with an oof. You're already looking much better, Commander, Thier said, scanning him and lifting his forearm to peer at the wrapping critically. Voss slept on. There were so many things wrong with this scenario. It's my youthful splendor, Fox deadpanned. Can I leave now? If you can lift Quinlan off of you and stand of your own volition, absolutely, Thier said warmly. Good luck. Wait, Fox said, a quiet bubble of suspicion popping at the back of his mind. This guy's first name is Quinlan? Why are you on first name terms with him? What's happening here? The guy's name was Quinlan? What happened to Knight? Thier was fraternizing with the enemy? Was Stone in on this clownery? Thier smiled. Quinlan and I have come to an accord. We got to know him a little better when Thorn was watching him break into your office and try to leave you a shiny rock.
It's a paperweight, Voss mumbled into Fox's neck.
Fox was very suddenly diverted from this conversation by the feel of Voss's lips moving against the side of his throat.
Paperweight, Thier said, rolling his eyes. You've still got 5 more hours of bed rest left. Make the most of it. I'll leave you to it.
Stone trailed Thier out of the room while Fox was still wrapping his head around the fact that apparently he'd been out of commission for almost 31 hours.
You're heavier than a bantha, Fox grunted to Voss.
Somehow the Jedi got even heavier as he plastered himself against Fox's side and shoulder.
You love it, Voss said, smug as a Tuca.
There is no evidence to back this claim, Fox told him. He watched as Voss got up and stretched, spine cracking in an alarming series of pops. He missed the warmth of him already. Voss laid a gloved hand on Fox's forehead and smiled a little, the corner of his mouth quirking up.
You'll be all right.
He didn't say it like a promise or a reassurance. He said it like a prophecy.
I always am, Fox replied.
You don't have to be. Voss swept his locks back with one hand and leaned over to kiss Fox's forehead, just between his eyes and above the crooked, flat bridge of his nose. I've got a bounce, baby, but we should do this again sometime. The sleeping, not the sickness. Feel better, Commander?
Fox caught Voss by the arm just above the elbow. Fox, just Fox.
Call me Quinlan, the Jedi murmured. Have a good day, Fox. He was gone in the next moment, just as suddenly as he'd arrived. Fox stared at the doorway and felt more than a little lost, adrift in the last vestiges of his migraine and the lingering ache in his forearm.
Business continued as usual. Fox settled back into command easily, except now Vance would show up every few days and cart off all the data pads on the floor.
Fox would never see them again, but apparently things were still getting filled out and signed off on, so he didn't really care what happened to them anyway.
Voss, Quinlan, came and went like the tide of Kamino, never staying for long, but never leaving long either. He brought Fox things. He brought Fox so many things. The paperweight for the flimsy Fox didn't use, a mug decorated with crooked lightsabers and fluffy tukas, snacks and tiny cakes, miniatures of the one they had eaten in Fox's office, a necklace once, a delicate gold filigree thing with a rectangular pendant on the end of it. Quinlan had put it on him, too, clasping the back of it and brushing his fingers over the nape of Fox's neck. He'd been so sure it would snap within the first day, but it was surprisingly strong enough to withstand getting caught on the sharp edges of armor or weaponry. Now Fox wore it under his blacks, pendant flat against his breastbone and body warm. Kote messaged him now, every few days, which was new,
He would give Fox pieces of seemingly innocuous advice that would, occasionally, very broadly, apply to Jedi. Fox's migraines shrunk to a manageable twice a week instead of daily. Life was good, or as good as it got for Fox. He was losing less time, too. And then, Fox was watching Quinlan one night, eyes on the curve of Quinlan's throat and the gleam of his smile as he threw his head back to laugh. The space outside the guard headquarters was near empty, or as empty as Coruscant got in the small hours of the morning. They were swallowed by soft, clinging shadows as they loitered near a side entrance. Quinlan had to go to a late night or early morning council meeting, and Fox still had a few rec forms to fill in. Still, they lingered. Even now, Fox could feel the echo of the warmth of Quinlan's hand on his cheek, the press of soft lips to the back of his hand. He spoke without even thinking, breath puffing out of him in the brittle pre-dawn.
"I love you."
There, he'd said it. Done and over. Now Fox could move on to bigger and better things. A new mixed calf for the mess hall. Repainting his bracer. Crushing caffeine pills into a fine powder and injecting them into a major artery. "Uh-huh." Quinlan had gone still as Fox had ever seen him. He'd lost every ounce of his predator's grace. Now he looked like a prey animal, crouched in fear before the lights of a speeder. "Very funny, Fox. You're wrong, by the way."
"Listen here, you little shit."
Fox snarled, grabbing the front of Quinlan's tabards and yanking him down to Fox's level. Anger filled him in a sudden hot rush. Anger at himself, anger at Quinlan, anger at the Kaminoans for letting him love. What was the point? What was the point of a soldier, a weapon that could cry and scream and love? What was the point of giving Fox this tightness in his chest, the stinging in the back of his throat? "I don't make mistakes. I'm in love with you, Jedi Knight Quinlan Voss, and you don't have to say it back, but you're gonna have to fucking deal with it, because I went through more impromptu therapy sessions with Cody than I ever wanted in my entire miserable, bottle-bred life to even realize this." Quinlan delicately peeled Fox's hands off of his tabards, finger by finger, and pushed him back a step, with a hand to the center of Fox's cuirass. "Apparently, you do make mistakes. Hate to break it to you. Sorry." Fox watched Quinlan walk away, and something small and soft and quiet crumpled like a wet piece of flimsy in the center of his chest.